Welcome to The Edges of Lean. I'm Bella Engelbach, and in this podcast, we explore the human and creative side of lean thinking, unusual places where lean thinking is practiced. We meet people who are practicing continuous improvement in many different flavors and styles. So come along with me on a journey to the edges of lean. Episode 60, Continuous Improvement and Encouragement. My guest today, Dale Power, says that encouragement is rocket fuel. She's seen encouragement change lives, and today she's going to share her passion project, The Encouragement Project, and help us to see how we can use that rocket fuel to propel ourselves, our colleagues, and our families in our continuous improvement journeys. Dale is a creative connector of ideas, people, and organizations. She has been a founder of the Outreach Division of a school for children with different learning abilities, a nonprofit that connects the professionals who work with those children, and now the Encouragement Project. She's owned a catering company. She's worked as a professional clown, and for the last 21 years has owned Big Shoes Marketing, a brand consultancy. She is now turning her passion to her newest endeavor, the Encouragement Project, having learned that encouragement is as powerful as rocket fuel when used properly. She teaches the skills and tools that, when practiced, have the ability to make a better world for businesses and individuals. Dale Power, welcome to The Edges of Lean.
Thanks, Bella. Good to be here.
It's so much fun to have you. And I'm excited to hear you tell us about the Encouragement Project and have a conversation about that, how that really connects with lean and lean thinking and respect for people. But I'd really like to start by hearing a little bit about Dale and how did you get to where you are now as the leader of the Encouragement Project?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Encouragement Project has its roots in my last institutional job, which was starting the outreach division of a school for kids with different learning abilities. And those kids come into that school emotionally black and blue, I would say, because they've failed in other settings, even though they are bright, and they've made the assumption that they think they are not bright. And so there's body language that goes with that. And I was doing a special project for the school to get it known. I was writing a book. And so I wasn't teaching, I was on staff, and I just had the position of being maybe a better observer because I wasn't so connected with anybody directly in the school. The second year I was there, in the beginning of the year, I noticed those kids, the body language of those kids was turning around in about week three. And I thought that was transformational. I thought it was unusual. It was interesting that no one else really noticed it at the time. And so I did a little investigation and I really came to the conclusion that the thing that connected all of that K through 12 was the culture of encouragement that the school based the whole culture was based on encouragement. And it wasn't just for kids, it was the entire culture. And it was a really lovely place to work because of that. People supported each other. There were always the problem children, adults, as we know. You're never gonna get rid of all of that. But overall, it was an extraordinary community. And even more so, the parent community was amazing because they had all been through the ringer with their kids. Even though most of them had plenty of money to spend on their kids, finding solutions for kids that are off the curve is not an easy job. And they loved them dearly and they wanted the best for them. And they were having a very, very difficult time finding answers. So that was the background. And as interested as I was in the whole subject, I was pretty busy doing my job and doing other things, because in a private school, you never have one job. Mm-hmm. And so fast forward, after almost 10 years, I left and had to put it aside for various reasons. I started my own company. I started a marketing company. And I kept being interested in encouragement. I kept reading about it and trying to find more about it, because most of the books written are written from a religious point of view, which isn't necessarily, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it really doesn't tell the story. And I didn't think they really dug into the subject. What I did realize is most people believe that encouragement is a pat on the back saying to somebody, you can do this. And that is like the really light version of encouragement. L-I-T-E.
L-I-T-E, the light version. The light version. So if I see somebody doing a great job and I just go, hey, you're doing a great job, that's not really everything that I could be doing.
Oh yeah, exactly. And what I started to realize was that encouragement is to learn how to really encourage someone takes many different skills. It takes skills of observation. It takes raising your awareness levels of people, and you know how they're thinking and what they're doing and what they're assuming and how comfortable they are, how fearful they are. And once that happens and you start to use some of the tools around encouragement, you realize that encouragement literally has the power of rocket fuel. And if you start reading stories of any great athlete or any great person, there were always people in the background that encouraged them in very specific ways, and they weren't always pleasant. You know, I think that's what everybody thinks is it's a real pat on the back saying, oh, you can do this. But in fact, it might be get off your rear end now, because you're missing your entire life. You don't. It could be like that. It could be harsher than that.
But it has that belief behind it, right? So
it get off still your, has the belief, yes.
Right. Get off your rear end now. And what's behind that is because I know that you have the capability, the ability to live and grow and get into this and do it.
So let me ask you a question. Was there anybody in your life that, you know, a teacher or some other adult, probably not a parent, but maybe a parent, Carter, listen to your parents, right? So somebody who told you something that really was significant for your, you know, the way your future has evolved?
I can think of a lot of people, you know, and, you know, actually starting with my parents, because my parents really believed that we could do anything we wanted. All we had to do was to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so I was always encouraged, you know, to decide what I want to do and to find my own way to do it. And they supported me.
That's great. That. Yeah, you're lucky. A lot of people don't have that.
I think I was lucky. I was actually having a conversation with some of my fellow women in Lean about this a few weeks ago. And they were saying, mm-hmm. you know, for many of them, that had not been their experience. They had been told that they could only do this or they could only do that, or they should do this or they should do that.
And even with parents that do that, I mean, I will never forget. I was in ninth grade and I was in a private school. And there was an assistant head of school who was just as mean as a snake. And she pulled me into her office one day. I was not very serious about math, as I remember. And she said, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I wanted to be a doctor. And she looked at me and she said, you will never be a doctor. And she just left it there. And that just, you know, flattened me for I don't know how long.
So she
Well,
didn't say you will never be a doctor if you don't work harder at
right,
your math.
right. No. And she did that to a remarkable number of kids.
I've heard that story from so many people.
And so many people don't have the right to do that, right? Nobody has the right to do that.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So what's the opposite of that? How would you now, knowing what you know about encouragement, what would you say to Dale who wasn't really?
Oh, I might pull Dale into that office and just get her into a conversation and ask her what she's noticed about her leadership style. You know, because it's always better to get somebody to express the kinds of things you want them to say, you can. And, you know, and it takes a little more time and a little more digging and maybe some more humor. But, you know, I can't remember who it was. It was one of the really famous, wasn't Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan's a great example. I mean, he didn't make the team, the high school basketball team, when he tried out.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I know, hard to believe, right? And he came home and his mother went, stop crying and get out there and practice this summer and make the team next year. So that's a good example of being kicked in the rear end, you know? And his father went to every single game that he played in ever throughout his life till he died. Yeah, I mean, there's another piece of encouragement. Like they really took a stand for him, so.
Wow. So how does, I mean, these are all great things, but how does this come together in the encouragement project?
Well, comes together in the encouragement project is teaching the skills and the tools. So I'm starting to put together courses on, you know, growing, you know, all the different skills and tools that it takes to be a really great encourager. And I write about this a lot and try to tell some stories too along the way about different people I meet in my life who have been the beneficiaries of such great things or not. And I think it's useful for people who want to do something with their lives or want to be more. And it's actually very handy to learn how to encourage yourself, right?
That's a great point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not very something we're particularly good at as Americans, I don't think. I don't think we're particularly good at self-care. You know, if you've been, you know, like I've been working in my marketing business for 21 years and I don't take an awful lot of time out of the week. Yesterday, I went down to the beach for the entire day. I did a little tiny bit of work before somebody picked me up because I didn't realize I was driving. So she came out here, it was closer to the way we were going. And so after 9 o'clock, I was gone and I didn't pick up anything the entire day. It was such a shot in the arm. And it's important to be able to rest because your creativity gets better.
Yeah, I had an interesting conversation last week with somebody from Europe who's not familiar with the American work lifestyle. And I was explaining about the number of holidays that people get and how much vacation people get and earning vacation. Right. And he was absolutely
horrified.
Shocked.
Yeah,
horrified at it.
Yeah.
So, but when you're doing that, Dale, right, you're actually saying to yourself, you deserve this. You deserve this break. You deserve this refreshment.
You come back better. I mean, I woke up the next morning just feeling joyful.
That's great. That's great.
It is great. And, you know, I think there are many people that need help getting out of their comfort zones. It's very easy to want something too fearful or too set in your ways to feel like you have the courage to break out of the pattern you're in. And I think that is maybe the biggest thing. But, you know, I'll tell you what, I've seen so many kids bloom, so many adults bloom when they start, you know, taking one baby step out of that comfort zone. And a lot of that is done by encouraging other people. So, you know, getting out of yourself
And take
kind of
it
important.
take that baby step. So I have the encouragementproject.com bookmarked in my browser so that I can go and visit, and everybody else should. And you just wrote a really interesting blog about that, about the baby steps and taking those small steps.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's interesting to me about that, and to my listeners in the Lean community, is that that is very much a lean concept, that we have in lean thinking, which is that you're going to do small steps, and really those small steps are going to be experiments, and you're going to try them, see what happens. Sometimes it's going to succeed, sometimes it's not going to succeed, sometimes
it's
going to
fine.
fail,
and
it's fine. But
yeah.
what's the encouragement there? You know, because you know, you were talking about influential people and lives. You know, I have had bosses who were not comfortable with experimentation, were not comfortable with trying something new, and other bosses who encouraged it and were, I would say, fairly comfortable if the experiment didn't work out, you know, with the positive result that we had been expecting, right? So what do you think it takes for someone who's going to be managing or supervising or supporting other people to get to that place where they can be comfortable letting other people experiment?
That's a great question. Well, I think it takes a tremendous amount of confidence in yourself and your judgment. But the other thing is, you know, a lot of people are just zoned in on the objectives, the latest and greatest objectives of the team, and they don't pay any attention to who has contributed this week. Who has, you know, what do you love about the person next to you and their skill sets? How does this person help you in doing your job? And spending a little bit of time. I work with entrepreneurs sometimes and try to get them to start working with their team and saying, you know, what do you think our customers want more? What do we think of putting in place, either in our language or in our service, that would express that in a way that we don't have to say it, but people can feel it because we care. And that's a game changer. Because now you're investing them in not only in their own future, but in the future of the company. People wonder how people get them engaged.
So so that would really drive people's engagement, right? Because they have much more of a sense of ownership.
Yeah, people want to be connected. There are so many studies that have been done that comes in much higher than pay. And it's, you know, they want to be part of something and they want to be acknowledged and hopefully appreciated. That's a much harder one, and certainly in the corporate community. And really in the business community overall. I don't know whether it's part of our pioneer bootstraps or what, but, you know, appreciation is it's so easy and it takes no time. It can be in your back pocket. It costs nothing. And it just takes a little bit of thought of how to say it in a way that really lands for somebody. Maybe is in front of other people, you know, so that then there's a bigger impact. Nice to hear it from one person, but if it's said in front of a team, that makes a much bigger impact.
That does make a bigger impact. So one of the things I've observed though with women, maybe it's a issue for men too, is deflection of that. So if somebody says, oh, you know, that was really well done. The answer is, it was nothing. Or
right.
Yeah.
Oh, women are famous for it, right?
Why do we do that?
Oh, I just think it's part of being good little girls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, and it's really important for women leaders to help other women not allow that.
Mm-hmm.
So to take a second and stop and say, wait a minute, can we just talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
You know, 2 minutes, let's take 2 minutes and really dig into that. And what does that mean when you say that? It means I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, this is nothing. And they're not acknowledging it to themselves. So that has a tremendous cost. That has a cost that's a bigger bill than anybody wants to pay.
And it's, in a way, if somebody is really working on encouraging you, if you deflect the encouragement, then you're not going to get the full benefit of that rocket fuel, right?
Yeah, and you're not accepting a gift. That's the other piece. If you're getting that, there's a gift there and you're not accepting it. So you're not allowing somebody to express themselves in a way. And I mean, so there's another part of the cost, because it shuts everything down. And people go along, and then next time you want to say something, you might think twice because that person won't accept it.
Right, right.
And they start wondering why they never get any compliments.
Right?
It's a vicious little circle.
Wow.
Funny.
Right, yeah. So with the Encouragement Project, you are also building a community. What's the community about?
The community is about the same thing. It's about sharing stories, learning the skills, becoming present to the real value of this. It's fascinating. Gordon Allport was a psychologist in the 20s and 30s, I think, who did a lot of work in this area, but hardly anybody's done anything since. It's so interesting. And, you know, considering at least the way I think about it, is a real power source. It's fascinating to me that nobody has done that. Penn has a whole school of positive psychology based on optimism. And they don't talk about encouragement at all. They talk about grit. Yeah.
So grit is that resilience and the willingness, ability to push through.
Yeah, I think grit is persistence, the ability to be persistent. And they, you know, Angela Duckworth does a lot of work with kids. Mm-hmm. In school, but you know what's interesting in schools, I won't name whether it's public or private, because I think it happens in both and many times, is a lot of people miss the middle kids. You know, that the ones that achieve a lot in high school are either the early bloomers or they're a little older. And you know, it goes to Malcolm Gladwell's whole theory about that. And and the ones in the middle are so often passed over and lost. And they may be like 50 students, but I can't tell you how many successful entrepreneurs I've worked with over the last 21 years who were those students, or worse, they were really not good students. They just didn't do school particularly well. Mm-hmm. They have multi-million dollar business. So there's nothing wrong with their intelligence. They were made to feel there was. And they were hammered in school. But there was nothing wrong with their intelligence, and they got no encouragement to that. And the other point is, you know, there seems to be only one path in school anymore, and that's the path to college. And that's just, we've got a manufacturing crisis because nobody can find anybody to work.
Yeah, there's definitely an issue in finding those folks, and they need to develop technical skills.
Oh, they do, because it's all technical now, and those jobs start. You can make a real living at those things. I mean, I had a client 2 years ago, and the entry level, they made precision tooling, and the entry level job paid $38 an hour, which is, you know, you can do pretty well in that. At the age of 20 or 21. So
you know, I'm thinking about this, and so this balance between, you know, people talk about kids today. People talk about kids today, and I don't necessarily agree with all that. But this idea that if kids, you know, encouraged, but are sort of praised for everything, that's not necessarily good for them, right?
No, that, and I'm not talking about that at all. I'm not talking about trophies. No, I'm talking about, you know, teaching kids to raise their awareness of, you know, who is, I think school has changed so much. It's hard for me to even talk about school anymore because I've been out of it for so long. but certainly not about trophies. It's about how to take the steps that you're afraid to take. And, you know, who's around you? Who are the people around you that might encourage you to do that? And if you see a friend that's having that problem, how do you help them?
And that really, to me, sort of goes back to, again, in lean thinking, what we talk about with respect for people. And, and respect for people is not just, you know, I think people need to be respected. Respect for people is looking at somebody and saying, this is an incredibly made human being with a brilliant mind, the ability to learn. They may learn differently from me. The way they learn might be different from me.
They
and
probably
the things,
do.
The things that they have learned may be different or should be different from the things that I have learned, but they are an amazing, they're just, you know, the ability of humans, all humans is incredible. And, you know, we really respect that. And because I respect that, that means that I have faith in you. I believe in you that you could try this thing.
Yeah.
And we'll make it small. So it's doesn't feel too dangerous. And you can try this thing, and once you have tried it and learned from it, then you can try the next thing.
Right.
And I know that you can do it eventually because of how incredible humans are.
Yeah. I'll give you a quick, really short story because this is the thing that kicked off the encouragement project from thinking into doing. On a Sunday morning, I went down to the Academy of Fine Arts to see an exhibit. And my kids typically don't call me on Sunday mornings. I'm usually in church. And I got a phone call right in the middle of the exhibit. And I didn't recognize the number. It was a Boston number. And it was a guy that I went to college with who had been a good friend. And I'd lost track of him about 30 years ago. And he was a lovely friend. And he said, I'm calling to say thank you. He's got some kind of lymphoma. And he was just wanted to make sure that he told the people that had mattered to him how they mattered. And I said, I'm so delighted to hear from you. What are you thanking me for? And he said, you saved my life. And I wanted to make sure I said thank you. And I said, can you remind me what I did? I have no memory of it. Dramatic thing like this. And he said, you got me off drugs. And I said, I have no memory, Vaughn. I have no memory of you on drugs. And he said, I was smoking weed. I wasn't serious about my studies. And you knew I wanted to go to medical school. And you sat me down. We had a pretty tough talk about it. And he said, I stopped smoking weed. I started studying. And I couldn't get in the United States because my grades first 2 years weren't good enough. But I went to Mexico. And I came back to Chicago and passed my board for the first time. And 3 years in, the University of Chicago invited me to medical school. And then Sloan Kettering gave me a brilliant fellowship. And 4 years later, Harvard called. And he said, I'm at the top of my career in Boston. And it wouldn't have happened except for that one talk. And that's rocket fuel.
And that's you believing in him, even when he didn't believe in himself.
Yeah, he wasn't paying attention. And I sat him down and said, what are you doing? His dad was a famous doctor. He wanted to be a doctor and he was just, you know, going through his life saying la la la.
So encouragement again is not just saying, hey, you're doing a great job.
It's
essentially saying, I know I have faith in you, even at this moment when you may not have faith in yourself.
Right. Even if you can't see this, I see something so much bigger for you that you cannot see. And it's your job to learn how to see it.
Wow. Wow. So what's next for the Encouragement Project?
What's next is I'm putting my first course together. And can I say when that's going to launch? I sure wish I could. It's going to launch in the next, say, 2 months.
Oh, that's great.
It'll be on the Encouragement Project website. That's the easiest place to find things. I'm on social media, but that'll be announced on social media too.
Okay, great. So again, that's theencouragementproject.com. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. So that's the place to go. You can go and you can sign up for the
for the Encouragement Project. You can join the community. You can read Dale's very inspiring blogs.
Thank you.
and stay on top of what Dale is doing in terms of training, which will be coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I know I'm always encouraged when I spend time with you, Dale.
Oh, thanks.
So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you've been, I love what you say about yourself, that you're a serial entrepreneur and right. You know, that, but this is, I know this is your passion. The Encouragement Project really is your passion. It's the thing that you have been sort of has been burning within you for a long time. Looking back and thinking about somebody, you know, just starting their career now, what advice would you give? Would you give a young person starting out now?
I would give them one piece of advice, that if you think of FEAR as an acronym, it stands for false evidence appearing real.
False evidence appearing real.
Because you will always have fear in your life, and you have to learn to get past it and blow through it, and it'll come up again, and you have to blow through it again. And I know that from being an entrepreneur for 21 years and other iterations of my life as a caterer and a clown and a few other things.
A clown?
I was a professional clown for 5 years. I had a company called Clowning Around.
That's great.
An immense amount of fun. It was before clowns got evil.
Yeah, clowns are actually a wonderful, wonderful way to have fun. And
It was so much fun. And people on the road are they're complete lunatics when they say clown on the road. It's kind of scary, actually. When
you're talking. So say that again. FEAR is?
If you think of FEAR as an acronym, because FEAR will be with you throughout your life.
Yeah.
Think of it as an acronym, and it stands for false evidence appearing real.
False evidence appearing real.
Wow. Because it's always false. It's always made up of the assumptions, of the worst assumptions you can possibly think of how things will turn out. And they never, almost never turn out that way.
Right, right. So when you feel that I can't possibly do this, people are going to laugh at me, or no one's going to pay attention to me, or they will pay attention to me, which might be just as scary.
Well, they may not. Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, you know, I watched the movie The Founder last night, and it's about Ray Kroc, and it took him 30 years to pull McDonald's off the ground. You know, there's no overnight success. It takes a long time. But if you really enjoy expanding your horizons and learning and developing yourself to see what you can achieve, then really, your parents were right. The sky's the limit. But it's getting by the fear, you know?
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Yeah. And along the way, encourage yourself and encourage other people, right?
You have to. Yeah. Well, it makes the journey more fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. I share my blog with my church every Wednesday, and it's really nice to know you're on the right track, because the people who will tell you, they don't always respond to it on Facebook, but you know, when I see them, they tell me, you know, this has made a difference. And that's just, that's a lovely feeling that you've made a difference. I mean, how much better can it get than that?
It's that phone call from that man, that doctor who.
Yeah. Wow. That was, and we renewed our friendship. We talk once in a while. It's just lovely. Got a great sense of humor. Yeah.
that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be looking today and over the weekend and next week for people to encourage, and I know you will too. And I really want to thank you for coming with me to the edges of lean.
Oh, nice.
And again, always back to the center, you know, which is respect for people and how much we should value each other as human beings.
It makes the world go around a little bit better, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Thanks, all right. Bella.
Thanks, Dale.
This is Bella Engelbeck, and I'd like to thank Dale Power for being my guest on The Edges of Lean. Who are you going to encourage today? How about encouraging yourself? You can connect with Dale at theencouragementproject.com. Please join me in exploring more of The Edges of Lean. There's a lot to learn. And check out my friends in the Lean Communicators community at leancommunicators.com. You'll find more podcasts and videos with lots of great new content every week. The Edges of Lean is written and produced by Bella Engelberg. This is a Lean for Humans production.